Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. It's Thursday, so you know that this is the Weekend Picks panel. I gather together some of our CBSSports.com experts. We make our picks every single week on CBSSports.com. You can find them under the Expert Picks category. And we're going to describe some of our thoughts briefly behind the Against the Spread top 25 selections that we've made. So leading us off is Dennis Dodd. Dennis, you were the champ last year Against the Spread, correct?
I believe I was. And I was tied with you on Straight Up, right?
Yes, we were tied straight up. Yeah. I've taken a nosedive against the spread thanks to a rough week last week, but you are still above 500 and only trailing Jerry Hinnon by 3, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so Dennis...
I'm looking here. We disagree on at least 2, 3. Yeah, I could get him this week.
Oh, man. This is...
Great.
So if you're in that, if you're waving your Dennis Dodd flag or your Jerry Hinnon flag on Saturdays, like I know so many of you are, be sure to check out the expert picks to so you can root them on. All right, we'll start with a game that really, I think... it's a reversal of where we thought it would be at the beginning of the season, talking about Michigan at Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 6.5. You've got the Irish picked. Is it just from what we've seen last week and really what we've seen out of Michigan, you feel comfortable about the Irish covering by a touchdown?
And I think they're really pissed off from last year. If they get a chance to beat them, they're going to beat them bad. It figures to be a close game. I think the blueprint's been drawn by Alabama on how to stop Denard Robinson. I mean, his effectiveness kind of stops at a top 15 team when you can get him in the pocket and make him beat you with his accurate arm. Sarcasm added. So, and I think Notre Dame will hold the ball enough. Every time I talk about Michigan, it sounds like I hate them, but they're just not quite there yet. I think they're going to do great things under Brady Hoke, but. That's why I think Notre Dame, the combination of emotion, being at home, and having a way to figure out Denard.
Yeah, Michigan was exposed by Alabama and has since mm-hmm. been followed up as just, you know, a lot more. And this is going to sound, like you said, it sounds like I hate them. I don't. But they just look a lot more regular than we thought they were going to be coming into the season. They are a good, you know, above average football team. And I did agree with you on that one. Moving on, we got Vanderbilt and Georgia. Across the board on the experts, people like Georgia to cover by 2 touchdowns. What's your thoughts on James Franklin and the Commodores' ability or inability down between the hedges?
Oh, I just think Georgia's better. They can't wait to get back to playing football. And Vanderbilt, I thought more of Vanderbilt this year. I thought they'd be that plucky little underdog, and they might be. But they haven't been yet. I go back to the first week. I thought they'd have more for South Carolina. And everybody seemed to accept that, like, oh, pat on the head, Vandy. I thought that thing was on a plate for them to win. And it was. I mean, they did have an opportunity. It's only 4 points. But I think Georgia's going to get exponentially better as we go on when they get those suspended players back. And I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. Jarvis Jones is back from the groin. So it's going to be hard for them, Vandy, to compete.
How enticing does the world's largest cocktail party look right now, especially as opposed to what we thought maybe a month ago? I think that's one of the other than, of course, November 3rd. I'm looking forward to that almost as much as any SEC game on the schedule.
Well, how about the rise of the SEC East? It kind of goes, if you include Tennessee, it kind of goes 4 deep now.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the West is stronger, but it's no longer this laughing stock of the last couple of years. And it's good. The team that comes out of there, you know, we've talked about this, is going to be a pretty good, you know, give LSU or Alabama a pretty good shot. So, yeah, I think that's one of the early season stories, that the SEC is gathering strength off the coast of Florida, I guess.
Moving to an SEC East matchup, Kentucky and Florida, I think the straight-up outcome, pretty much everybody agrees that the Gators should win this. Even looking forward ahead, you've got another week before that big matchup against LSU. The spread is 25.5. You've got Florida covering. I got to say, I kind of like the Wildcats with a little bit of fire under them, especially after losing to Western Kentucky. the Gators, you know, they got so up last week. I'm wondering if they might slip and fall. Convince me that they're going to win this by at least 26.
We haven't seen Jeff Driskel or that offense as good as it can be. I think they gained a lot of confidence against Tennessee last week on the road, especially in the way they did coming back and just, you know, not blitzing, but just, you know, running all over Tennessee and whether it was 37-20 at one point. I think they've still got things to figure out on offense, and I think this is the perfect time to do it against Kentucky. I think Kentucky will probably hang in emotionally for about a quarter. There's a lot of talk about Joker Phillips. There can't be much unity there. So, I mean, if Kentucky had won last week, you know, would that have changed any of this? I mean, we've got two guys, you know, you being one of them, picking UK against the spread. I don't know if that would have changed at all had they won, had they beaten Western Kentucky.
That's true. We got a really, really big spread. Oh, actually, hold on real quickly. Did you see the sort of political cartoon that was about Kentucky athletics that was in one of the local papers?
Yes, I did. One and done and done.
Yeah, for the listeners who might not have seen it, it was a picture of a Kentucky football and a picture of Kentucky basketball side by side. The basketball, it said one and done, of course, for John Calipari and his one and done NBA stars. And then football is just done. That's it. All right, we got a really big spread, UAB and Ohio State, 37.5. I took Ohio State to cover the spread just because UAB has sort of been trounced on. But before we started recording, that 37.5 is a lot for Ohio State to cover.
Yeah, I start thinking about this, a game like that, and I go, okay, if Ohio State wins 50-17, they don't cover. And I don't know if Ohio State can get to 50. I think UAB can get to 17 because Ohio State hasn't figured it out on defense yet, obviously. So I think there's a lot of points out there to be had for UAB. So I kind of start at 50, meaning, you know, if Ohio State, if everything clicks, they get 50. And so they would have to hold them to what, 12?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I mean, that's why I went UAB. I'm not all in the tank for Ohio State yet.
We got Kansas State and Oklahoma. The spread is 14.5, just over two touchdowns. I played a little bit of the math game, too, on this one, but you've got Oklahoma covering 14.5. You think it's just the magic of Norman or the time to prepare? What's your thinking there?
Well, I think being at home, and I saw this game last year, and it just looks like the same matchup. Kansas State's better, I think, because their players are a year older. They don't really have an identity. We don't know if they're the team that, you know, the defense that completely shut down Miami or the one that struggled with North Texas. Now, again, Miami, I think we all agree that Miami's not very good. But Oklahoma State has better athletes. And the tempo they run, if they get 85 plays out of that offense, I think they'll beat Kansas State by more than two touchdowns. You know, I don't know if Kansas State can get to 17. They got some fine players. John Hubert, Colin Klein is the number one probably rushing quarterback in the country behind Denard Robinson. But on the road, I don't know if they can get there.
And wrapping on up, at least your segment, we got Clemson and Florida State. Florida State favored by 13.5 in our expert picks. You've got the Tigers being able to go down to a sold-out Doak Campbell Field and cover the spread. You just go in high-octane offense, think they'll be able to put up enough points?
I know one thing. These teams haven't played anybody. They've played six combined games, and they've played two BCS opponents, one each. I do know this. They can both score points. Combined, they've outscored the opposition 295-56, combined 38 touchdowns, combined 3,200 yards. They will move the ball. It'll be much like last year, I think, when it was 35-30. And that would suggest in a shootout, it ain't going to be anywhere near 13.5. So I think it'll be under 10 with FSU winning.
And Jimbo Fisher said this morning on the ACC coaches teleconference, he said he made a request to John Swofford if they could play 12 or 13 defenders against Clemson's offense.
And he was quickly denied.
He was quickly denied by the Swofford. Well, be sure to stick around for our next segment. We got Tom Fornelli diving in for another crop of picks. Dennis, thank you very much, and enjoy the weekend of football. Best of luck.
All right, thanks a lot, Jeff.
And welcome back to the CBSSports.com Weekend Picks Panel Podcast. We've got, you know, it was great. We like to thank Dennis Dodd for his time and his picks, but now we're kicking it into the regular. We got Tom Fornelli now. Jerry Hinnon will take us home. And Tom, I got to say that I'm looking at a lot of these spreads, and we've got another case, just like we had last time, of you've got to guess how much do these teams care, because there's a lot of big point spreads and a lot of chances for some backdoor covers in week four.
Yeah, week four is one of those odd weeks every year because it's generally that last week of the season before conference play really kicks off. So a lot of teams tend to want to, you know, play lesser competition in that week. You know, they want that week off before the real play begins, and that leads to a lot of uncomfortable point spreads that aren't very easy to pick.
Yeah, a lot of ones that are not very easy to pick. And I'll tell you this one, you know, I'd like to get started with you with one where I wish, you know, that we were able to do over-unders, because with Oregon and Arizona, the Ducks are favored by 24.5. And I think we agree across the board that Oregon should win this game. They really are one of the best teams in college football. But Arizona, they will be able to run for a little bit. My question to you is, do you have Oregon covering 24.5? And if so, why do you think they will or will not be able to keep Rich Rod from just running for 48 minutes? Or 60 minutes, sorry.
You know, I'm taking Arizona in the points just because Oregon, even in their first three games, first of all, they're 0-3 against the spread this year. And that's against lesser competition at that. So they've had a habit on defense of giving up points late. And plus the defense, really, I don't think their defense this year is as strong as the defense we saw at Oregon last season. And Arizona's offense has been pretty darn good the first 3 weeks of the year. So I think that the Wildcats can be able to cover more than three touchdown spread. I don't like their chances to win so much, but I definitely can see them sticking within 24. I mean, I could see like a 50-35 kind of game, which is easily covered. As far as the over-under, definitely take the over this one, because as I saw, or I wrote about it in Spread Options on Monday, the over and under was set at 74.5 this game, and the last five meetings between these two teams have averaged 81.5 points. So that seems like easy money.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely easy money. And I was gonna ask you, where would you set the spread? Because I'm honestly going above 80. I don't see any way this point total is below 80.
Yeah, I'd set the over under about 79.5, 80 for sure.
All right, staying in the Pac-12, we got Southern California taking on USC. USC really needs a strong bounce back. It's funny because, you know, I was talking with I was talking earlier today with somebody, and we were just saying how quickly did we bail on USC, and it didn't seem like the odds makers necessarily bailed on them. They made them 16.5 point favorites. Lane Kiffin's given really, really fast post-practice interviews. Do you see the Trojans being able to get sort of that revenge game?
Yes, I think people are dismissing USC a bit too quickly, just because if you look at Stanford's exactly the type of team that is built to beat USC. USC is not very deep up front on the defensive line, and that's exactly what Stanford can exploit with its running attack, and that's exactly what Stanford did exploit. Cal, on the other hand, is not the same kind of team. So while USC's defense does have its problems, I still think the Trojans are good enough on offense, and Cal's not quite good enough on either side of the ball to hang within 17 points of the Trojans this week, particularly in L.A.
Yeah, I got to say, I picked Cal. I don't feel great about it, but I went back to the old feeling that the way that Tedford saw Bigelow break out, it seems like people have been waiting on that, on him to sort of step up and get the ball, get some more playing time. If they stick with Bigelow, they give him more opportunities. I like the Bears to be able to get 14, 17 points. And then, you know, obviously we know Barkley can't. We saw them, you know, take Hawaii the distance, and it'll be interesting. I think that this one will get very close to being covered. I don't know if they cover it easily. I don't know. We'll see. I'm very interested. I will say the Trojans are one of the more fascinating teams to watch from here on out, because, like you said, the
the hour 75 is better than your 85 argument sort of went down the hill with a couple of injuries on the offensive and defensive line, and they actually, you know, really met a good match as far as the strong front seven of Stanford.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, moving on to the Big Ten, your neck of the woods. We got Nebraska and Idaho State. Nebraska has the dreaded 45.5-point spread. Anytime we get over 40, I never really feel comfortable. But all of us have Nebraska covering the spread, except for Dennis Dodd. Tell me why he's crazy.
I don't think he's crazy. I think he just saw the 45.5-point spread and said, yes, sure, screw it, why not? I went with Nebraska just because, I mean, for no other reason other than it's Nebraska and they're playing Idaho State. And I don't really think you need to say more than that. I think Nebraska will cover it just because it's easier to say they will than they won't. And plus, Rex Burkhead's coming back this week, so the offense will be even stronger, and they're going to want to get him back into shape for Big Ten season. So it's not like he's going to play a quarter and sit down. So I think Nebraska's going to have a really easy time with this one, and I don't see Idaho State doing much of anything, and that's why I took Nebraska.
Yeah, no, while some teams are ripe for a letdown before they go into the heart of conference play here in week four, like you mentioned at the beginning, I think that with Burkhead coming back, they want to make sure that he's got his legs under him, he's strong, and he's ready for play. So instead of resting and taking it easy, I see them really just – this is a great scrimmage for Nebraska before they start Big Ten play with Burkhead back in the lineup. I agree with you. I've got Nebraska absolutely covering against Idaho State. Another big spread.
Another factor real quick, though?
Yeah.
Another factor is Opelini, after having to leave last week's game early, is going to want to get, you know, extra reps in as a head coach, so he's not going to call off the dogs.
Yeah, no. Bo Pelini, what did they end up deciding, that it was a gastrol issue?
Yeah, it was gastrointestinal, and it was flu-like, so I'm guessing I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm guessing there were some hydration issues, and they wanted to get him to the hospital to get him some fluids. That's just an educated guess, but not that educated.
Yeah, so basically, we looked at all the medical things, and you were like, so what happens when I feel okay.
Exactly.
All right, we got Michigan State and Eastern Michigan staying in the Big Ten. Michigan State needs they need a strong bounce back after getting downed by the Irish at home 20-3. They are 32.5-point favorites over their in-state, quote, rivals at Eastern Michigan. I've got the Spartans covering here, too, just for sort of similar reasons as the last one. I see them needing and wanting to be able to, you know, flex themselves offensively, really sort of get back into gear. What do you have? How do you read this game?
I was a little scared about the spread just because Michigan State's offense really hasn't looked very good this year outside of Le'Veon Bell. But, I mean, Eastern Michigan's defense, for as bad as Michigan State's offense has looked this time, is even worse. And I think if there's any team out there that Michigan State will be able to finally get the 35, 40 points this season against, it's going to be Eastern Michigan. They scored 41 against Western Michigan, so they could probably get to 50 maybe. And also, I don't see Eastern Michigan being able to do anything on offense against the Spartans. So that 32.5 starts to seem smaller and smaller every time the more you think about it.
Yeah, I've got this at like 42-3. You know, there's no way that Eastern Michigan reaches the end zone. And that 3 is probably even generous. It would not surprise me to see the Spartans pitch a shutout.
No.
All right, we've got TCU looked pretty strugglicious in a 20-6 win over Kansas. You had Casey Pahal throw 3 interceptions. He fumbled the ball 3 times, excuse me, and there was 4 total team turnovers. And really, it was a little too close for comfort against Charlie Weiss's team. Luckily, the Jayhawks are just really phenomenal at tripping over themselves. So now they return home, and they welcome Virginia, a team that is reeling after a beatdown at the hands of Georgia Tech. Right now, the spread, the way we picked it for the expert picks, is at 17.5. How do you have this one looking down in Fort Worth?
Well, first of all, tripping over yourself is one of Charlie Weiss's decided schematic advantages, so I'm happy to see that they've got that down pat so quickly. In this game, yeah, TCU, definitely, they didn't look very good against Kansas, but at the same time, it was their first Big 12 game. It was on the road. And while the SEC, you know, was a little more kind to Texas A&M and Missouri by letting them start at home against big-time opponents, the Big 12 sent TCU to Lawrence to play Kansas, which isn't exactly, you know, a big-time college football atmosphere. So I don't know if TCU was just kind of sleepwalking at first and finally realized, oh, hey, we might actually have to play this game or what. But they didn't look good. And Virginia, on the other hand, looked worse last week. I mean, they barely beat a Penn State team that really hasn't been impressive. So I'm thinking, and they're back at home, more comfortable in Fort Worth, I think TCU is going to get their act together and they'll take care of Virginia, because I just don't see Virginia's offense scoring a whole lot of points in this game.
Do you, real quickly, news came out on Wednesday about Waymon James' knee injury will cost him the rest of the season. This is, if you go back to end of last year, that means we're now sort of down to the third available running back. Do you see that hurting the Horned Frogs and their chances to contend for a Big 12 title at all?
I definitely think it hurts their chances for the Big 10 title. I don't know how much it hurts them for this game, because while you don't want to lose running backs like that, if there was one area where TCU could afford to lose people due to injury, it was that running back, because the three running backs they had the year before were all nearly 1,000-yard rushers. So I think Waymon James is a big loss. I think they'll get past it. I don't think it'll affect them this week. But yeah, in the Big 12, I definitely think it's going to have an impact on how good they can be on offense.
Yeah, they'll be fine against Virginia. Virginia's secondary is really one of the least experienced parts of that unit. Last year, you know, their big breakthrough year under Mike London, a big part of that was Chase Minifield leading a secondary of most, I think, only one of them's back this year, Nicholson. And so, you know, Casey Paja will be able to sit back there and sort of pick his spots. I haven't seen Virginia get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, if he has enough time, he's going to be able to spread them out and throw on them. I agree with you. I could definitely see TCU rolling here. All right, we got another Big 12 ACC matchup. Maryland and West Virginia, these are actually familiar foes, not just because Randy Edsall got to face West Virginia when he was at Connecticut. These schools have actually had a contract running for the last couple years. And, you know, Randy Edsall said today there's really nothing that we can try and focus on to stop them on offense. We just kind of have to play sound and, you know, take care of ourselves. Now, hearing the opposing head coach say that sounds like a defeated man. I think that I like West Virginia to cover this spread. What are you feeling?
Yeah, seriously. Anytime your head coach is basically coming out and saying, listen, there's no way we can stop these guys, that's not a good sign for you at all. And that is what Edsall was saying. He wasn't saying it in that direct language, but he was in a roundabout way. It was like, we have no shot of stopping them. We're just going to have to hope to score with them. And Maryland can't do that. Maryland's offense is nowhere near good enough to do that. And unless Stephon Diggs returns about 9 punts for a touchdown, and West Virginia won't have to punt 9 times. So I think that the Mountaineers and Dana are going to drink some Red Bulls and roll all over these Turtles pretty easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is, I foresee a, you know, Maryland, let's say Diggs gets 2 special teams touchdowns or 1 special teams touchdown and he takes an end around to the house. I see, regardless of what happens, West Virginia is going to put up 56 points or more. And so with a 28.5 point spread, I like the nears easy. I was very, very surprised to see 3 of our counterparts, including Jerry Hinnon, who you'll hear in a little bit, going with Maryland on this one.
Yeah, well, you know, Jerry just had a kid this week, so he was probably a bit distracted. And Matt Hinton also picked Maryland, but we should also point out that this year Matt is 25-42 against the spread. So if you were just doing the opposite of what Matt had been telling you so far this season, you'd be buying a vacation home right now.
That's right. If you'd just gone opposite every time, you'd actually be leading the CBSSports.com expert picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what we've done this the last couple weeks. What is your big upset for this week in week 4?
Clemson's going to beat Florida State, Chip. I know we always expect Clemson to Clemson themselves, but people forget that every year Florida State's itself at the same time. And I think this week is that week, just because it was the same. It's the same kind of theory I had for that Arizona-Oklahoma State game. Florida State hasn't really played anybody. Yeah, they played Wake last week, but is Wake a team that strikes you as anything special? No. Whereas Clemson probably has the best quarterback in this game, probably has the best running back in this game, and probably has the best wide receiver in this game. That 14-point spread seems ridiculously large to me overall, but that's mostly because I see Clemson winning this one outright and then losing to Wake Forest later this season.
Oh, man. You're calling the full Clemsoning. Because that really would not Clemsoning the entire season, the most Clemson thing to do was to get blown out by record points in the Orange Bowl, 70-33 to West Virginia. And so that would be it. You beat Florida State in Tallahassee and then lose to Wake Forest later in the season.
That is the ultimate Clemsoning, and that's exactly what is going to happen.
I made my pick earlier today with Travis Sawchuk and Coley Harvey, and I'm going the opposite, man. I think it's 42-24. I don't see Clemson's defense. Even if they just hand the ball off all game, Clemson's defense is just really lacking in sort of elite playmakers. But I cannot bad talk your upsets. You've been able to hit them. So we'll see what happens here in week four. Tom, remember, you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. Check out all our expert picks at CBSSports.com. Follow the Ion College Football blog at IonCFB. And best of luck with your picks this weekend.
Thank you, Chip. May the odds be ever in your favor.
And you as well. Tune in. We got Jerry Hinnin coming up just after the break. Welcome back, folks, and taking us home is, as we mentioned before, the expert picks king. And Jerry, I'll ask you, this is Jerry Hinnin, of course. You have heard him before if you've been tuning into the Weekend Picks panel. He is leading in the expert picks on CBSSports.com. He has crushed some of his predictions here on the podcast. And a congratulations is in order as he and his wife gave birth to their second daughter, Lucy. So congratulations, Jerry. How's life being a new dad all over again?
Yeah, it's really good. You know, not a whole lot of sleep involved, but you know, it's college football season. There's no time for sleeping at this point anyway.
Now, Dennis is already, he said earlier, he was starting to look at some of the games where he's trying to hunt you down. And I said to him, my suspicion is that you're a big numbers cruncher. Do you have any, like, tips, or do you want to keep them all secret that you could give the listeners as far as what you're looking at or any keys to your success?
Well, I think one thing that's been kind of a reversal from last year is last year the favorites were covering really consistently, like the top 10 teams, top 15 teams were basically covering the spreads week in and week out. And so far in this season, that hasn't been the case at all. USC has gone 0-3 against the spread. Oregon has gone 0-3 against the spread, like just haven't been able to cover these huge numbers that Vegas has established. And that hasn't helped me. Well, I took Stanford last week, but I've missed on Oregon all three of those times. But like this past week, I tried, you know, really to look at some of the underdogs a little bit more closely. You know, took, let's see, North Texas against Kansas State. I was the only guy who did that. So, you know, I think in general what you want to do is maybe lean towards the underdogs at this point. I couldn't do it this week. I think I picked, you know, like 9 underdogs out of the 21 games, you know, just because it seems like these favorites, you know, they just ought to be able to dominate the way we expect them to dominate. And so it's hard, I think, as sort of, you know, amateur pickers against the spread to get out of that mode where you just expect a favorite to dominate. But I think you have to. You have to take a step back and say, okay, well, where's the letdown coming from the favorites, and where can these dogs maybe make a game of it?
Well, let's go ahead and get started with several of the games that you will be picking on this podcast are ones where you pick the favorites. And let's start with the number one in the nation. Yep. You and I are the only ones that took Alabama to cover 51.5 against Florida Atlantic. SEC, that you're all over that beat. What's sort of your angle on Alabama being able to win by 52?
Yeah, my take is this. I think Florida Atlantic, it's not really about Alabama. It's about Florida Atlantic being an awful team. You know, they gave up 700 yards to Georgia last week. You know, they, I think, were a little bit lucky to even pick up the 20 that they did. They scored themselves. They lost 56-20. Actually covered a 42-point spread in that one, which surprised me. You know, FAU is just one of the worst teams in the FBS at this point. Very, very little talent. Went through a coaching transition. Lost by two touchdowns to, you know, kind of a poor Middle Tennessee team a couple of weeks ago. Started the year off with a really lackluster victory against Wagner, you know, a kind of bottom-rung FCS team. It's not really about Alabama for me as much as it is. I don't think FAU can pull off two covers against two SEC teams in 2 weeks, even given the huge spread that they're facing. 52 points is a lot. I just got finished saying you maybe ought to edge towards the underdog in a situation like this. But I don't think this is the kind of underdog, even given that number, that can cover here. Although it's going to be close. It's going to be, you know, a coin flip coming down the stretch the last couple of possessions of the fourth quarter. But I think Alabama gets it done.
I think that, you know, some of my pick might have been reactionary. You know, I don't want to say it was as simple as, well, they hung 52 on Arkansas. Certainly they'll do it again. I started where you just explained. I don't see FAU scoring a point or a touchdown, at least. You know,
yeah.
if they get a field goal, then I think that would almost piss Alabama off more, and maybe even they go for 60. It just seems to me like, especially after, I mean, just watching the second, third, and fourth stringers play against Arkansas, and certainly the Razorbacks' will was broken a little bit. I'll put a little bit into that. But the way that they just kept going, it's just everything. You know, you go back to that Nick Saban process, and you got to think that he's going to take every opportunity in a game situation to let whoever's out on the field just sort of execute the offense. So it's just you and me right there. Everyone else got FAU. And so that might be a chance for you to increase your lead, or you can come with me and the bottom dwellers. All right, moving forward, we've got a SEC West matchup. You got LSU and Auburn. Right now, the Tigers and the Tigers, but War Eagle has plus 17.5. Sort of explain your pick there. It's a game that I gotta say it's lost a little bit of its luster since the beginning of the season. But I'm wondering sort of both teams I think will have a lot to prove no matter what the outcome is. But both teams are looking for a good performance.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem for Auburn is that LSU is not going to be looking past this game. They, you know, had an easy time with Idaho last week. This is their SEC opener. LSU does not like Auburn, hasn't for a long, long time. You know, and that's bad news for Auburn because this is on paper. It's kind of a mismatch at this point. Kyle Frazier, you know, did a little bit better this week against ULM than he did against Mississippi State the week before, but still threw just a terrible backbreaking interception late in that game. Still looks not in control of the offense. And we're talking about an LSU defense that hosted Washington's Keith Price a couple of weeks ago, who is a seasoned quarterback, has lots of experience, knows what he's doing, and they reduced him to just total ineffectiveness. He passed for 4.4 yards an attempt, completed less than half his passes, didn't throw a touchdown, threw an interception. So, you know, if you look at what they did to Nick Price, what they might be capable of doing to Kyle Frazier is the stuff of horror movies at this point. You know, I just have extremely little faith in Auburn's ability to do anything on offense, really, against that LSU defense. I think Auburn's defense will look a little bit better this week. Brian Van Gorder, you know, he's more sort of trained in that pro-style offense coming from the NFL. So I think he'll be a little bit better prepared to stop what LSU is going to do with their straight-ahead running game than he might have been with ULM spread and Clemson spread. But, you know, let's say Auburn holds LSU to 28 points. Well, you know, if LSU holds Auburn to 3, you know, that's their 7. That's still going to be kind of an easy cover for them. I really don't see Auburn putting enough points on the board to keep this within the number. I think it's LSU all the way.
Like I said, both teams really need impressive performances. The difference is LSU is a team that really needs a good performance, and they are really, really good. It is a really good team that is looking for a good performance. All right, moving, keeping it in the SEC West, sort of. At least we got Mississippi State taking on South Alabama. Mississippi State's creeped back into the top 25. They, I guess, sort of riding the momentum of the Auburn win, because I wasn't incredibly impressed with their performance 2 weeks ago. How do you see them doing playing South Alabama?
I think they cover. Mississippi State's got a bye week next week. They took their foot off the gas pedal against Troy last week, got out to a big lead. That game was at Troy, kind of slacked off and, you know, let Troy back into it a little bit. South Alabama is nowhere near as good a team as Troy is at this stage, and Troy is not particularly good. I think with no opponent really to look forward to, Mississippi State's next 2 weeks are a bye week and then Kentucky, so their next real challenge is still a little ways on the horizon. I think they really sort of get down to business this week and kind of run South Alabama out of the stadium a little bit. I think I feel pretty good about a Mississippi State cover on this one.
I'll tell you, it was South Alabama. I'm not saying that they're great, but you know, NC State only beat them 31-0, and so I was wondering if maybe they were going to let the foot off the gas. That was where my South Alabama pick is. I did not get a chance really to watch them. I will fully admit that one was a little bit of a late Tuesday night blind pick. But
yeah, well, this is the spread's 31.5.
34.5.
34.5. Well, okay. Well, still doesn't change my pick. I think, yeah, the NC State game actually finished 31-7. So, you know, in those terms, South Alabama put up a fight there, and you know, scare quotes. But I think, again, Mississippi State's going to be a little bit more focused. And I think they've got a little bit better defense at this point than NC State does. And NC State's offense maybe has a little bit of issue here and there. They only scored the 10 against UConn. So if we're comparing these two, if NC State can win by 24 against South Alabama, I think a motivated Mississippi State team can definitely put on that little bit of extra juice and win by 35.
Right, you're right. The fact that they've got two, for the most part, bye weeks ahead, if you count Kentucky as a bye week, then yeah, I see what you're going there. So that's 34.5. Jerry's got Mississippi State covering. Moving on to another team that let the foot off the gas pedal in the second half and really almost, you know, caused a little bit of a scare for their fans. You got Louisville, you know, that North Carolina got back in the game. They end up winning 39-34, I believe. And now they hit the road to take on Florida International. This is a home game for Teddy Bridgewater and the rest of that sort of Miami crew that Charlie Strong, you know, he recruited South Florida very, very well when he was at Florida, and now he's starting to get that same crop of talent up to Louisville on the road. Do you like them to cover 13.5 against the Panthers?
I do, for two reasons. First of all, Charlie Strong has been an outstanding road coach since going to Louisville. In his 11 games, in 11 true road games, he is 10-1 against the spread. Now, this is a rare occasion for him to be a road favorite. I think he's only been in that situation once or twice, and I think that was one of those one road against the spread losses. But still, that's an outstanding record of success on the road there, 10-1. So that's one thing. Another is that, as you point out, this is a homecoming for a lot of these Louisville players and to some extent for Strong himself. You know, I think they're going to be motivated, focused. I don't think there's going to be any sort of looking ahead with FIU, given the importance of this game being held in Miami for those players and for Strong. And then the other thing is that FIU has not, at least to date, been nearly as good as they've been the last couple of years. You know, the first week of the season got blown out by Duke, who has not exactly covered themselves in glory since then. You know, they looked okay in the box score, but didn't really follow that up with an impressive performance the week after that when they let Akron come down to Miami and take them into overtime. And, you know, this Akron team is one that went 1-11 last year, got absolutely annihilated by UCF in the first week of the season. If you're letting Akron hang around at home, if you're letting Akron take you into overtime at home, I don't think you can stay within two touchdowns of a focused Louisville. I've got Strong, especially given his road record. I think this is another firm lean to Louisville here.
That is a double dose of Bowden they got up at Akron, though.
Yeah, it's true. Plenty of Bowden magic. And hey, you know, Akron blew out Morgan State. Morgan State's not good. They're an FCS team, but 66-6 this last weekend. So it's possible Akron's way better than I think.
No, it's not.
No, I don't think so either. I think the lesson here is that FIU is just not as good this year as they've been the last couple of years, and I think that spread's a little bit small, the way Louisville especially has been playing on offense.
You got Oregon State traveling to UCLA. UCLA, the Bruins, one of the pleasant surprises of the early season so far. And Oregon State, we haven't really seen a lot of them. They've only got that one game since the season opener was postponed. And the Bruins favored by 11.5. How do you see this one playing out, and what's your pick?
Well, I took Oregon State at 11.5. Something interesting here, Chips, if you've been following the lines this week, bettors have been absolutely all over Oregon State. Anyways, that line opened up at, I think, 13.5, and is now all the way down to 8. Like, UCLA is only an 8-point favorite at this stage, which is pretty surprising when you consider the start UCLA's gotten off to this season. They've covered all three games, you know, beat the snot out of a Houston team that I think a lot of people expected to be able to keep that game close. There was no letdown after the big win over Nebraska. You know, so if you're taking Oregon State in this game, then you're going against what seems to be a really, really hot UCLA team. But that's what I did at 11.5. I think Oregon State's had, you know, a week to prepare. You know, there's not a lot of game film out there of them because of the, you know, postponement in the first week and then the one game against against Wisconsin, which is a big win. I think sent them into that bye week with a lot of momentum. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons to pick Oregon State in this game. I think Sean Mannion looked, you know, surprisingly in control, in command against Wisconsin. You know, so it's a little bit to me of, you know, a question mark because Wisconsin, we've since found out, is really just not very good. We don't know how Oregon State's going to do on the road. We know UCLA, you know, has a lot of momentum right now, but I kind of think that UCLA is maybe due finally this week to come down from that high a little bit. I took Oregon State plus the 11.5. I think they can at least keep it, you know, competitive. At that minus 8 level where it's at now, though, I that's the point at which I might start leaning to UCLA. So we'll see. I think it's a fascinating game. Like I said, I've got Oregon State in our picks with that 11.5, but it won't really surprise me if UCLA turns that the other way.
Yeah, I'm with you in that I was very encouraged by Oregon State's defensive performance until I watched Wisconsin's next game, and then all of a sudden I realized this was just an entire team problem. And I would be lying if I didn't say I looked at that. If I didn't also see the spread had dropped to 8, and that factored into my decision to say 11.5. Oh, geez, of course I'll take 11.5. All right, we're gonna wrap it up with this one. This is the top 25 weekday showcase. We got Brigham Young and Boise State, Smurf Turf weekday night. The Broncos are favored by 7.5 against the Cougars. Boise State, of course, back into the top 25 after falling out following the loss to Michigan State. And BYU just out after losing three times over. They lost. It was crazy, Jerry. They lost three times in the Holy War to Utah. So, what's your pick here, and how do you see this one playing out?
I've got BYU here, and I actually really like the Cougars in this situation. Boise quietly went 0-6 against the spread at home last year. Did rebound, beat Miami of Ohio really handily last week. So they started off 1-0 against the spread in 2012. But if you watch that Michigan State game, you saw a Bronco offense that still really, really struggled at the line of scrimmage to open up any kind of holes for DJ Harper. And I think BYU's defense is going to be a lot closer to what we saw from Michigan State than what we saw from Miami, Ohio, I'll put it that way. I think BYU's a little bit undervalued. They really should have won that Utah game, outgained the Utes, you know, by about 70, 80 yards. You know, could have very easily won it at the end. You know, so I think if they maybe win that coin flip against the Utes, this line is, you know, in the 4-4.5 point range rather than the 7.5 we're seeing it at now. So I think, you know, this isn't the same Boise team we've seen the last couple of years. And, you know, the line obviously reflects that. It's still 7.5 points. It's not what we would have seen last year with the Broncos at home. But I still don't know if it's been adjusted enough for how well BYU is doing in terms of their experience, in terms of their defense, which is going to be stout regardless. To me, this look has all the makings of a field goal game one way or the other. And so, you know, I'm definitely riding with the points. And it won't surprise me to see an upset if the Broncos offense looks anything the way it did against the Spartans back in week one.
Yeah, I'm feeling much less confident in my Boise State straight-up pick and more confident in my BYU to cover pick pretty much the more I think about it. So I am with you on that one. And for the record, we were across the board picking Boise State straight up. So if we're either all right or all wrong. Nobody takes an advantage on that one. Well, that wraps up the weekend picks panel headed into week four. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Remember to check out the CBSSports.com expert picks. You can see all of our picks straight up and against the spread. Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, Brian Fisher, Tom Fernelli, Jerry, Matt Hinton, and myself. And it's fun because you can go in the bottom in the comments section and tell us how dumb we are and how much smarter you are against the spread than we are. So that seems to be something everybody enjoys. But thanks so much for tuning in.